You're listening to Rebels with a Cause, the reach of radical grace for rebels in the race. Part 1, Chapter 8, The Ultimate Training Program, taught by Reverend Tommy Bolin on November 16, 2010, at Brother Brigade, a men's ministry of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church.
Father, we bow before you this day. You have gathered us by the power of your Spirit. Would have been easier to stay in bed. There's a lot that we have on our plates today, but you have drawn us to your house that we might come together, hear your word, and to fellowship, to build each other up through the community of the saints. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Warren and for Ricky and for the kitchen staff and all that they do so early to just put a hot meal out for us. Thank you for Danny and all that he's doing administratively and the burden he's taken off of Kim. Thank you for the leadership team who's made the commitment to help lead men's ministry in this church. And Lord, for every man who is part of this brigade, both physically and those who are part just by the website and listen to what we're doing in here and pray for us. Lord, it's the most important ministry in the church. As the men go, so goes the church. Help us, Lord, to be the men you've called us to be. Help us to be encouragements to each other, Lord. Help us to open our hearts and share the burdens that we have, that we might walk side by side, back to back, for your glory and your glory alone. For Christ's sake, we pray, amen. Okay, today we are in the section called the Ultimate Training Program. Now, we're going to read a quote, and we're going to take a look at a verse, and we're going to talk about it very briefly. John Owen, 17th century Puritan, wrote this: "Our duty and God's grace are nowhere opposed in the matter of sanctification, for the one absolutely supposes the other. We cannot perform our duty without the grace of God, nor does God give his grace for any other purpose than that we may perform our duty." That's probably one of the best quotes I have ever come across that tells us exactly the biblical formula for living the life God's called us to live. Look how perfectly that verse now fits in to the scripture verse that follows. Psalm 127, 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand in guard in vain." Now, John Owen said that we cannot grow apart from the grace of God, yet God gives his grace that we may grow. Here's a scripture verse that says this: unless the Lord builds the house and unless the Lord watches. But what's presupposed in those statements in that verse? That we are building and we are watching. The city is not going to get built just by the grace of God. The grace that God gives us is then applied, the appropriation of the grace, to actually do what he's called us to do. The city is not going to be watched over just by the grace of God. He's calling us to build and to watch and to do all of these things. Jerry Bridges has probably one of the best statements of what this actually is. And you might want to write it if you haven't read it already in one of his books: dependent responsibility. We are responsible to do what God has called us to do, and yet we are totally dependent upon his grace to get it done. Who can explain it? I can't. There are some things that we just simply can't figure it all out, and that's okay. The secret things belong to God. If we could figure it all out, he wouldn't be God. But the verse makes it clear. There's a tension in the verse. There are things that we are responsible for, and yet anything that comes out of that is still all because of the grace of God. It's important that we get that foundation as we go into this, because this is an area, I think it's an area that's a great difficulty for me in particular, and for anybody who's been involved, let's say, in athletics, coaching, those kinds of things. I know Coach Key would concur. In coaching, let's just look at it very simply. In coaching, you have a group, whether it's coaching the elementary kids, as Coach Key's done for decades, and teaching them. My son, we went over to the gym the other day. My son, little one, he had no idea what the hula hoop was other than to jump in and jump out and jump in and jump, and he couldn't do the hula hoop. Daddy, look. He puts the hula hoop on, and he's working. And that thing's... And I said, how did you... Coach Key. He told me, if you go like this... In coaching, listen, baseball, football, basketball, wrestling, tennis, swimming, Sammy, where's Sammy? You tell your swimmers, you do this, and you get this. You do this, and you get this. That's real. Basketball, baseball, you tell your players, you do these certain things, and you can expect this in return. And if you don't do those things, you can't expect to get better. There's a phrase we use in athletic: proper preparation produces peak performance. It's a great line. It looks good. You put on a poster, you put on a wall, inspires the athletes. But it's really not true at the deepest level. It's still all of God's grace that's poured out. But if Zach never spun the thing and kept going like this, he never would have been able to figure out how to get that hula hoop to work. It's important that we understand this when we go into this section, because I'm convinced that most of us have this all messed up, and I am the chief sinner. For years, I was convinced my life was either going to be blessed or be cursed because of how I performed in the areas of what we call, what theologians would call, the means of grace. Means of grace are things that God has given us to grow us up into Christ. This is one of them, just sitting here and being together. And you know all of them: Bible study, prayer, corporate worship, the sacraments, and on and on and on. And I just believed, it was Jerry Bridges' good day, bad day. When I was doing all the right stuff, God was going to bless me. And when I wasn't focused on doing the right stuff, God was not going to bless me. Boy, that was a terrible thing. It took a long time. I told you, 2005, when I got my first grace book, The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges, it was the first time I'd heard Dr. Kennedy preaching it. I just didn't get it. I was too thick. You know, it just takes time. And in 2005, all of a sudden, it started to make a little bit of sense. I still don't get it because I'm still so performance-based. But I'm starting to get it. And if we don't get it, then we'll never have any joy in living the Christian life. Never. So keep that in mind. In Romans 12:1, where it says that we're to be living sacrifices, there's so many verses that tell us that there are things that we need to be doing. There are things that we are responsible for if we're going to be the men that God has called us to be. But if we think the reason that we're growing, if we are, and we should be at some level, if we think it's because of the stuff that we're doing, then we have the whole gospel messed up. Here's a great way to test it. Listen to this. Take a guy who's been doing all of the stuff that he's supposed to do. He gets up in the morning and he has his quiet time, right? While it was still dark, Jesus went off to a solitary place and he prayed. Mark 1:35. So the man does that. And he does his devotions diligently. He leads his family, if he's married, in devotions. If he's single, he leads himself. He prays during the day. He never misses a Sunday. He shows up. He's actually engaged in church service. He's plugged in. He comes Tuesday mornings, Wednesday nights. He volunteers at the soup kitchen. The guy is just engaged. He's plugged in. And things are going well. Then all of a sudden, boom, something bad happens. Life gets tipped upside down. How many of you yesterday got the email? How many of you heard about Rod Hayes? Rod Hayes went down in Israel. A blockage in the colon. Is that correct? Emergency surgery in Israel. Now, to the outsider, they'd ask the question, here's a guy committed to his church, committed to his God. He's out in Israel serving the Lord, and all of a sudden he goes down? I don't understand that. What kind of God is that you're serving? Stay with me. So the guy's doing all the stuff he's supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden, boom, just like Rod, he's on his back. And what happens? This will give you an indication of why the man's been doing what he's been doing. All of a sudden, he stops doing all that stuff. He doesn't spend the same kind of time in the Word anymore. He's not praying like he used to. When something better comes up, he misses on Sunday. Why was he doing what he was doing before the bad thing happened? To be blessed. You got to get this at the deepest level. You really do. Because we are all performance-oriented. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter if you're a coach or not. We are all messed up in the same area. We just simply live out of a performance-based theology. We do. And you've seen that. And I bet you've even been involved in it. I have. Man, why am I doing this? If this is all I'm going to get out of all of this effort, are you kidding me? You remember the name Borden? the big milk, the Borden milk? I read this a long time ago, so let me just try to make sense out of it for you. They had one male heir. This was back in the late 1800s. They had a fortune. He had a trust account of $1 million, and he was set up. The whole family had him set up. He was going through the best educational system. He was going to be a politician, a doctor, an attorney. He had them all set up, and all of a sudden one day he goes to his family. He says, the Lord's calling me to the mission fields. Family said, you're out of your mind. That's not our plan for you. He says, I got to go. I feel that the Lord wants to use me on the mission fields. He takes his $1 million after he finishes school. That was the deal. He got his million. He gives it to the missionary field. And he goes against the will of his family. This is a big name family in this country. He goes 3 weeks. 3 weeks. He contracts a disease. And he's dying. He's dying after 3 weeks. And then a few weeks after he contracts the disease, he's dead. Dead. And the family says, you see? Do you see? And they find his writings. And they expected in the writings to find this. God, I gave up everything for you. I had a blessed life. I had all the money a man could have ever wanted. I didn't need to come to this. And this is what you give me? What a wasted life. They didn't find that. He said, I am so thankful that God, for a short period of time, gave me a glimpse of what the gospel actually is. It looked like a wasted life, but the money that he had given and the life that he lived for just a few weeks, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missionaries followed. We all do it. We expect to be blessed when we're doing the right things. We do it in our physical relationships, don't we? When you're loving and kind, don't you expect to get that in return? Sure you do. Sure you do. We all do it. It doesn't work that way spiritually. And when we get that, we really begin to grow, and we begin to grow up into Christ. We're going to look at three areas very briefly. You're all doing it, but we want to just make sure that we understand how we're actually to be doing it. Look at number one, Bible intake. All right, everybody study in the Word. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God, Deuteronomy 8:3. Question is this. Are you reading the Scriptures? Every head would nod. Of course I am. We've been called by the Lord to read the book. I use the phrase, the book you don't read won't help. So it's not going to help you if you don't read it. And we always want to put challenges before us. So one of the challenges for us as men, we ask the question, have you read it from beginning to end? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer it. You don't have to nod your head. I hadn't for years. We were saved in 95. It wasn't until 99, I think, we were at First Baptist. And Larry Thompson, that year, made a challenge to the congregation. We were just in the congregation. And he said, here, I'm going to challenge you all to read the Bible. We've got the Bibles in the bookstore. It was called The Daily Walk. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm not even sure what translation is. I still have it. It's up on my bike. I still do it. I still read it. I miss days. I miss a number of days. I catch back up. But I actually read it in 99, and I try to do it each year. It just simply worked for me. Every single reading opens with a page full of just information that got me going. It got me excited about what I was going to read, gave you some insight, asked some questions. And the daily walk, I was finally able, but listen to where it got messed up. I was finally able to say I read the Bible from cover to cover. And because I was able to say that, he owed me a blessing. I did it. And I still do it. So he owes me. It's messed up. And we do that. We think because of what we do. See, that's the problem in being able to draw the line from the physical to the spiritual. If you lift a weight long enough like this, your arm's going to get stronger. It just is. That's the way it works. If you take the book and keep doing this every day, your life might spiral out of control. It may go from good to bad to worse. Physically. That's just the way it is. We're not blessed because of the things that we do. We're blessed because of our union with Jesus and what he has already done. And you hear it every week from Talia. We need to get that. And when we get that, then we're driven to do the things that he's called us to do. And we're no longer looking for a payoff because of it. And then when something bad happens, like what just happened to Rod, we were going to lunch yesterday when that email came out. Kim said, hold on. We need to pray. What now? I can't believe what I'm reading. He's going in right now under the knife. Where? Israel. Oh, my. It would be easy for Rod to say, I can't believe this. Look at what I'm doing for you. And I can assure you, he did not. So we need to keep that in mind as we're working through these disciplines. Remember, if the Lord doesn't build the house, the builders labor in vain, but we have to build. You got to read. You got to read. Next one. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Everybody knows that verse, and I always take it out of the King James Version because I actually love it. I love it. I want to give you a quote, though. If you've never read Jerry Bridges, it's really good reading. Just get one of the books. Get the Disciplines of Grace. Get Pursuit of Holiness. Just get it. The first book he wrote was in 75. I don't know where I was in 75. But when I started to get a picture of the gospel, it really has started to make a difference. Let me give you a quote in prayer. But before I give you the quote, let me just ask you so you can answer it on your own. Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, how would you rate? And it's okay for us to do these things. How would you rate your prayer life? For me, some days it's a 1. For me, some portions of some days it's a 10. But for the most part, it's not what it should be. So listen to this quote. And some of you are great prayer warriors. I'm shamed sometimes in the presence. Listen to this quote. Prayer is the, this is from Bridges. Prayer is the tangible expression of our dependence on God. A poor prayer life says we can handle most of our spiritual life with our own self-discipline and our perceived innate goodness. That's me. That's it. And it's messed up. Until we understand that we are responsible to pray and yet dependent totally upon God, then our prayer life never really begins to shape itself in a way that transforms the heart. It's an amazing thing when we begin to get it. But you can't just get a message once. That's why you're going to hear the same message every week. Doesn't matter what scripture verse he's preaching out. It doesn't matter what book of the Bible. It's the same message that we need to get. There's things that we need to do, but it's all because of God's grace that it actually gets done. And the final point. Let's be brief. Oh boy, this is worth reading. Just look up. Alexander White, Scottish preacher. Listen. The Christian Sabbath was the sign of a standing or falling church, an infallible sign of the state of true religion in a land, in a church, in a family, in a man's own heart and life. There is perhaps no surer sign of a falling Christian than a growing neglect of Sabbath day ordinances and an indolent and profane abuse of its sacred and priceless hours. Oh, to be able to write like that. There is no bulwark that parents can build up around their children's religion and morality like a well-kept Sabbath day. And there is no surer sign that a young man is declining from faith and personal religion than when he begins to find his own pleasure and do his own way on the Lord's holy day. Wow. Boy, it'd be neat to be able to write like that. What is he saying? The Sabbath day, the worship of God, the gathering together of the saints in corporate worship, it's the same as what we just talked about in the Bible study and the prayer and all of the grace, the means of grace that God has given us. But when we begin to think that because we are showing up, God is now indebted to us to bless our efforts because we've been making it every week. We not only make it every week, we make sure that we make it when we're not here, when we're out of town. Those are good things, but we mess it up when we start to believe that blessings flow out of the activity that we are performing. Now, blessings come through those activities, so we can't misunderstand that. If we don't do those things, we can't expect to receive the blessings that God has promised us in our relationship, in our ability to understand Him and ourselves and live the life we've been called to live. But when we mess that up and begin to think that it's because of what we're doing, if I keep doing this, then my life is going to represent and look like this. When it doesn't, then we throw our hands up and say, there's no use. And it happens a lot, especially in the lives of men. And we're in a very difficult season of life. You all know that. Many men are going through it right now, out of work, trying to find a way to make ends meet. Faithful prayer warriors, faithful students of the Scripture, faithful attenders on Sunday morning, and some of them asking the question, why? Why do this? If this is all I'm going to get. It's the sinful heart that does that. We'd like it, the formula that we'd like is the formula that we have in physical training. You set up a training program for the next 6 weeks and you're going to do X, Y, and Z. At the end of those 6 weeks, you expect a return on that investment. And you should. Physical body really works that way at many levels. It'd be a lot easier if in our spiritual eyes we could expect that. If we sow a seed of $10, we can expect 100 by the end of 30 days. Boy, that'd be a great thing. Man, you'd be sowing 10 here and 10. Hey, let's up it. Let's sow 1,000 because I could use 10. And it's a great formula. It doesn't work that way. Many in the church preach that message in our theologically barren pulpits, and it's a terrible message to preach. You might sow a seed of $1,000 and the next day get a call from the doctor. It tells you your trip is just about over. That's what we need to get. And that should never, as hard as that is, that should never keep us from doing the things that God has called us to do, because the blessings we receive are always and only a result of our union with Christ. And isn't that, let's just turn it around as we close, isn't that good news? Why is that good news? For me, I'll tell you why. Because there are some days I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And God isn't waiting for me at the end of the day to smite me. Man, that's good news. There are some days that just don't start well, and they end worse than they started. And in the middle, I'm not sure what went on. And at the end of that day, God is not waiting to exact his pound of flesh from me. He already exacted it from his son. That's the point of what our pastor's preaching. When we get that, that's what drives us to do the things that God has called us to do. That's the whole point of the gospel. That's the only motivation we're ever going to have long-term to keep getting back up every time we stumble and fall. Let's remember the primary point this morning. Dependent responsibility. Unless the Lord builds the house, but we have to build. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I thank you for these men. What an encouragement to me that they just keep showing up every week. Lord, I'm just praying right now that just a double measure of blessing be poured out into their lives, not because they show up, not because they read the word, not because they're prayer warriors, not because they're faithful attenders on Sunday and they contribute to the local church here. I just pray, Lord, that in your grace, because of their union with Jesus, you just are pleased today to bring them a word that was unexpected. Maybe they've been praying for a healing. Maybe they've been praying for an increase. Maybe they've been praying for a way to be made in the wilderness. I don't know. But Lord, I pray today. I pray every man in this room senses your presence and your pleasure in their lives. And I pray, Lord, I pray that you would use us in a way that brings honor and glory and praise to your name. How we love you. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.